Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. I am Phil Saunders, the youth minister here, and I am so excited that you all have joined us this morning for Youth Sunday. Today is a huge day in the life of our church and in the life of the youth ministry here as we welcome and confirm this year's confirmation class. I invite you now to take a moment of silence as we prepare to worship. Let us stand before the Lord as we sing stanzas 1 and 4 of number 162, Alleluia, Alleluia. Please join me in our Trinitarian greeting and Easter shout. As friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Blessing and honor, dominion and power be to God forever and ever. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Our opening hymn is number 62, All Creatures of Our God and King, and we will be singing stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
join me in our common prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you watch as your children grow up in an unsteady world. You know the trouble and hardships our youth face each day. May your Holy Spirit give us direction to see that your ways offer more than the ways of the world, to believe that following you provides more than our selfish goals. Help us to take failure not as a statement of our worth, but as a chance to start over with your smile upon us. Give us strength to stand strong in the midst of temptation and guide us in the ways of Jesus Christ, that we may live with courage, determination, and trust. And because your mercy and welcome are always near at hand, may we never stop pursuing a deeper relationship with you. In the midst of an ever-changing world, guide and preserve us. Amen. I invite you to take a moment with God in silence. In Christ's name, amen. Let us join together in our act of praise, number 99, my tribute. Seated.
The first thing you can do for me is, if you're on the inside aisle, your job is to pick up a little pad and sign your name and set a good example and pass it down the row. We have a lot of visitors today, and if you give us your address or phone number, we would just like to send you a letter that we were sure glad to have you at Main Street United Methodist Church. Two Sundays from today, everything is going to be different. It's our Connection Sunday. We'll cancel the 8:30 service. There will be no breakfast. We'll cancel the 11 o'clock service. Sunday school at 9:30. Everyone in here for joint worship at 10:30. We'll have our praise band and our choir, and we'll have a wonderful meal for you afterwards. What we need to know is that you are coming so we can plan for the catering. Many of you received a card like this, a little card to mail back. If you were here today and can be with us in two Sundays, even as a visitor, we need to know. So come up to the little podium to my left. There's some copies of a eulogy I preached this week for Mac Bond at his funeral. And you can pick up one of these cards and call us back, and we can make sure that there's chicken for you on Gospel Day here at Main Street United Methodist Church. I would like to announce it's been a great week in youth ministry here. We had about 100 people in attendance Wednesday evening for our special meal and our auction. We raised about $1,200 for youth scholarships. Now, a lot of you have been asking me for a new pictorial directory. And I'll just tell you something. I hate pictorial directories. They're a hassle. You have to buy pictures. But we've got the software now to do it on our own. We are going to ask that when you're here for Connection Sunday, that you fill out a little card with information. And we're going to have two photography booths out in the lobby. We're going to take an informal photograph of you and create our own directory that we can do internally with our software. We can print it. The only cost you'll have to pay for the binding, and it's something that we can update. So we hope with this we'll be regularly producing some kind of yearly directory so that you can contact church members. And so when you come to church on Sunday, you can be quickly looking at the faces of your friends so you won't forget their names. Now, you were supposed to laugh at that. That was supposed to be funny. I do remind you that we are looking for two staff positions, somebody to take on a halftime children's role as Kathy will be going to halftime, and also we're continuing to search for a full-time music director, and we invite you to make those matters of prayer. I think we've covered all our announcements, and our first lesson today will be read by Skylar McGinnis.
Our first lesson today is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which He has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
At this time, I'd like to invite our children to come forward and join Miss Julia Baker for our children's time.
Yeah, you can do it. Bang. Wake everybody. You want to stand up and wake everybody up? Thank you. Okay, can I see them? Because I got my... You want to do it? Bang them together. Wake everybody up. Say good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I was reading this scripture the other day. It's 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. And Paul explains that... words without love sort of sound like banging cymbals, and like it's not very good. Sort of like how y'all were banging these cymbals. It's not good. And I came up with a few examples, and I want y'all to help me out. When you say something, when somebody accidentally steps on your toe and you're like, hey, that's my toe, get out of my way, that really hurt. That's not very nice, is it? No. That's not nice at all. But if you say something out of love, like, hey, I'm so glad that y'all all came up here and sat with me and are listening to me, that's out of love. And it sort of sounds like what Josh would sort of play on the organ, something very nice and just fun. And so I want y'all to give me a few examples of how you would say something without love. Anybody got any ideas? Anybody? Okay, no. What? You got one? Without love? Something mean that you would say to somebody? No. Okay. Well, what's something you would say? You look bad today. Yeah, that's not out of love. What would be something maybe you would say to the congregation that would be with love?
What would you say?
You're pretty. You're pretty? Y'all look very pretty today. Yeah, that's very... very nice. I like those examples. And you want to say something? No? Okay. Well, and those are just some examples. And y'all want to, with speaking to people out of love for God, you spread His word. And so, y'all want to pray with me? Okay. Everybody, close your eyes. Say,
dear God,
please help me to have love for everybody and not speak very mean to anybody. In your name we pray. Amen.
And now our celebration singers have a special special entertainment for us.
Thank you.
It's awesome to be back up here, and especially for such an awesome day in the life of the church. It's Youth Sunday, so we're celebrating all that God has done in the life of the church here and in the life of our ministry, but it's also Confirmation Sunday. And so we are celebrating and praising God for the work that He's done in the lives of the 9 students that we're confirming. In my planning, I knew from the start what I wanted to talk about. And in confirmation, it's been a long process. 12 weeks of class, meeting every Sunday. We've gone on a retreat to Lake Junaluska in North Carolina. They have met with a mentor outside of class, have gone through a study of the book of Luke with their mentors that Pastor Phil wrote. They've done service projects. Last night we held a special banquet for the confirmands where they got up and they each shared their faith statement with everyone. And it was amazing to hear how they've grown and how they've come to be where they're at in this season of their life. And in confirmation class, we cover a lot of things. We cover a slew of different topics. But what we rarely talk about, we actually only cover it once, is what happens today, and then what happens from here on out, after this process has come to its conclusion. What does it actually look like to live this life that we've been talking about and discussing for 12 weeks? So today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16, and in verses 16 through 19. Some context, kind of some background. Jesus has just asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon says, "I say that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in verse 17, Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Now verse 18, the really good part. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So in just a few moments, our confirmands are going to be coming forward and making a public declaration and confession. And it's a beautiful thing to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But it's important that we fully grasp this idea of confession and what confession is. And so in Romans 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, this means that you shall be saved. Now, I'm going to lay it to you straight. If you don't understand the danger that we are in without Christ, then you can't fully respect the salvation that comes from Christ. And a lot of people think that you can just play church and play Jesus and do with it what you will. But when you understand that without Christ there is eternal destruction and damnation, then that should really wake you up. It should wake us all up. In planning, I started thinking about this past fall. I went rafting with some buddies before Heidi and I got married. And in the middle of one of the rapids, I got thrown out of the raft. And there was a lot of water, and I was choking. And when I came up from the water, even though I had a life jacket on, in my mind, I was dying. I was done. And I looked, and I saw one of my buddies with his hand reaching out. And needless to say, I was pretty excited to see that hand. Now, sometimes we don't understand the danger that we're in. And when we don't understand the danger that we're in, then we can't respect the rescuer who comes. The reason why a lot of people play around with Jesus and play around with church is because they don't believe that they're in danger yet. By a show of hands, how many of us know people that thought they were doing certain things that were okay until something really bad happened? Or What about the people who say, oh, I'm only going to try this once, but then once turns into every weekend, and then every weekend turns into every day? We all know these people. You see, the sad thing is sometimes we don't see the danger until it's too late. And to offer a bit of wisdom, even though I'm not really that smart, but by the time the rattlesnake has bit you, the poison's already in your system. And so a lot of times we have to recognize that sometimes we welcome that rattlesnake. We welcome sin into our life. And then we say, oh, I'm scared, get it away. Ah. But the point is, we have to be able to recognize that danger before it even gets close enough to bite us. We have to be able to recognize the things that are going to take us away from God in order to protect ourselves from danger. One thing I've been praying a lot about recently, and it's we've touched on it a bit in youth, is addiction. And how so many people, especially young people, fall prey to addiction. And addiction has many, many different forms that we're not going to get into today. But it means that there are a lot of people in bondage, and they need to be free. But here's the beauty of salvation. Salvation frees you, and salvation is free. It frees you from everything. When we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we make that public confession, we are set free. Now, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about my story, and most of you have probably heard it, but bear with me. I went into college a very underconfident young man, and most of you, I'm sure, are thinking to yourselves, no, he is so well-spoken and charismatic and good-looking. But please just hold that until the end. You can tell me all that later. But low self-esteem was my biggest enemy. And in my mind, I was battling double time because in my mind, low self-esteem was only something that girls struggled with. Because in a guy's mind, we're like, no, I don't have self-esteem. I'm strong and muscular. And girls, you know, are like, oh, my hair is not good today. And like, no one likes me. But I had low self-esteem, but I didn't know where it came from. And then it hit me. It came from being bullied and picked on in high school. And when I say bullied and picked on, I mean like really bullied and picked on. As in 10th grade, I was put in a trash can. Like in the movies, like I was put in a trash can. And I look back and laugh about it now, but those moments really scarred me for a long time. I had low self-esteem, which then made my point of view of reality very skewed. In other words, what happens is when we allow the world to tell us who we are, instead of allowing God to tell us who we are. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." So Satan, the devil, his whole goal is to steal and kill and destroy. That's his whole motivation. That's what he's out to do. What does he want to steal, kill, and destroy? He wants to steal our identity. He wants to kill our destiny. And he wants to destroy our hope in Christ. It's pretty much what it is. When you really come down to it. He does it through side comments that have no meaning or value at all. Youth, Jesus loves you. He loves us all. Middle and high school is a rough, rough time in life. And for those of you who may have had it easy in those years, good for you. That's awesome. Most of us don't. I'm a short guy, as most of you may or may not have noticed. For the most part, I'm shorter than every student in youth. Give or take Sam, maybe. But he's getting there. So I'm a small dude. I can't really do much. And I was even shorter in middle school, like Hannah short. Like I was that big in middle school. And so that was something that I had to grow out of. Literally grow. I grew up. And so from that point on, because I was dealing with low self-esteem, I developed this mentality of competition. And not necessarily athletically, because, again, I was small. I wasn't an athlete. I was just competitive in nature. Like, if you weren't on my team in life, you were my enemy. I was just constantly competing. Which caused some fights and some arguments and some discomfort, mainly being put in a trash can because I was high on myself. Anyway, I came into high school and got older, and I found myself really trying to prove myself according to what the world said I should be. Now, to be honest with everyone for a second, we have to understand that the world's standards are very, very different for guys than they are for girls. And I'll be honest, I don't know what it's like to be a girl. I've never been there. I've never tried it. I've never walked a day in Heidi's heels. I don't know what being a girl is like. But one of the standards for guys, especially in today's way of thinking, is that you're not a man unless you're out sleeping with two or three girls every weekend. And so in my mind, I thought in order to get past this whole little man syndrome, I had to be doing that. But what I didn't realize was that I was chasing a perverted destiny. I didn't realize I was chasing something that could cause heartache and damage. I was chasing something that God never planned for me to have in that way. And thankfully, I never succeeded. Thankfully, in the midst of my running and chasing and rebellion, I slowed down long enough to hear God yelling at me, stop. Just stop. Stop trying to please the people who hate you and who torment you, and try pleasing the one who created you. And that's the goal for today. For us to recognize that God loves us because of who we are and because of who he created us to be. In Jeremiah 1, he says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And when you know that God has a plan for you, when you know that you are accepted by God, you can tell everyone who doesn't like you and who has something negative to say about you, you can look at them and tell them, I look just like my dad. And I'm talking about my heavenly father. For so long, we try to please the people beside us. We spend so much time making these temporary decisions that have long-term destruction. And that's why Matthew 16 is so, so important. Because at this point, Peter changes his destiny. Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter responds, I say that you're the Christ. Now understand that a part of confessing who Jesus is that when you confess who Jesus is, you are releasing his plan into your life. And because he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, sin and darkness are going to try to take you away from that plan and that vision. But once you say, hey God, I believe in you, I believe in who you are, he then turns around and says, hey, I'm glad you said it. Now here's this big, beautiful plan for your life. And this is what happens to Peter. This is how Jesus responds. He calls him by name. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, which means rock. And on this rock, talking about Peter's confession and what his name is, I will build my church. Jesus came to set up the church, not just the steeple, the building, but to set up the church, the people who would come to it and the people who would come to know God and who He is. And so at this point, when He says, "I'm releasing my vision into your life, Peter," I'm not talking about the superficial goals Peter might have had for his life. I'm talking about the real deal vision for Peter's life and the church. Now, we all know the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We say it every Sunday. Now, there's a key part in that prayer. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." In other words, when we pray that prayer, we're saying, "God, I don't care what else is going on. I don't care what is happening. God, I want whatever you want to happen. Whatever you have planned, I want that to happen." And that's when He releases that vision. Now, there are two reasons why God wants us. He wants us to be transformed, and He wants us to prove His plan for us. And that's why He calls us. When we confess to the Lord, when we say, "Hey, God, I believe in who you are," He says, "Well, let me tell you who you are. And let me tell you why I created you." Quick story. There's a guy out in LA, out shopping. He needs a shirt for a party. Simple shirt, Hanes Comfort Tee, soft cotton. And he walks into a shop and he's browsing around, normal shop out in LA. He's going through the racks and he finds shirt's perfect. Perfect t-shirt. Nothing on it, just a simple, plain t-shirt. He says, "This is it. I found it." Looks at the price tag. "This can't be right. Someone made a mistake. They put the wrong price tag on this." So he puts it back, moves on, finds the exact same kind of shirt, same price as the other one, $640. He says, "Okay, this is a joke." Puts that one back, moves on to the next rack, and he finds out that the original rack was a sale rack. And he's thinking to himself, $640? Like, what kind of golden fabric is woven into this Hanes Comfort Tee? And so he musters up the courage and he walks up to the register and he looks at the sale guy and he goes, "Man, you got to help me out here. It says this shirt is $640. You got to be kidding me. Like, if I put this shirt on, does it mean that my body will be healed and that I will be able to, like, do magic? Like, is this a magical shirt that it's $640? Like, what is it made of?" And the sales guy says, "No, it's just a cotton shirt. Splash of polyester in there." "So why is it $640? And the sales guy says, oh, "It's because of the designer. Because the designer's name on it, it adds value to it. It's valuable because of who designed it." Do you understand that you are valuable because of whose name is on you? Do you understand that your worth and your value comes from who created you? Do you understand that God's glory is stitched into your genes? We are here to glorify Him. But seriously, when we don't realize that we are put here on this planet to manifest how amazing God is, we lose sight of everything. One of my favorite pieces of scripture is actually on the wall of our youth room. It's 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it says, "Whether we eat or we drink, we do it all, whatever we do it all for the glory of God." So when we make the decision to confess Jesus, just like Peter, when we make the decision to make that public confession of who Christ is, we are accepting the responsibility that in all that we do, We will do it to bring glory to God. And that's what I want us all, especially our confirmands, to walk away with today. That when you stand up here and when you confess Jesus, He is going to unleash a wonderful plan on your life. And it is your responsibility to follow through with it. And it doesn't mean that you'll always get it right or that it'll be easy, because it won't be. But it means that you will strive daily to bring Him the glory. So be confident and be fearless. Amen. Please rise for our hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour, found on page 397.
Members of our youth ministry are serving as our ushers today, and they are eager to receive your tithes and offerings, so I invite you to give generously, and you may be seated. you ever took piano lessons, please raise your hand. Aren't we glad that Josh took long enough to get really good? You know, whenever I hear him play, my heart just gets happy. And I want to sing with you, Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow. Please stand.
Let us now pray for the youth of our church and the world. For those who seek a purpose and calling in their life, that they may be given a deep-rooted passion for living. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those without Christ-centered relationships, that they may find others who would encourage them and point them to Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the boys who feel they must rush into physical relationships with girls in order to live up to their peers' expectations, that they would see God's plan for purity as the true measure of a man. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. For the girls who try to conform to the images they see in the media, that they would find that their true beauty is a reflection of God in them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. For those without families who are searching for a place to belong, that we may offer our hands and hearts as a safe harbor for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. And now let us pray as Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
Stand. It's hard to lead a worship service. If you will take your hymnals and turn to page 33, I'm going to ask Phil to come stand beside me. He's going to give you a brief introduction about the confirmation service, and then we'll call our candidates forward.
As I mentioned earlier, the confirmation process has been a long one. They went through 12 weeks of class, a confirmation retreat, meetings with their mentors, a study of Luke, service projects, and it has all culminated into this weekend, with last night being a way for them to put into words their faith and what they believe and how they got to believe what they believe. And now part two of this weekend is now. Them coming forward to publicly confess who Christ is and to renew their baptismal vows in front of you all. It's a big deal. We stress the honor that it is that they come forward and do this. So what will be happening, they'll be coming and taking their vows. They've created stoles that are here on the railing that we will place on them. Pastor Phil will bless them, we'll have a prayer for them, and then they will receive an official certificate from the United Methodist Church, yeah. Thanks to their website.
Okay.
Yes.
As I call your name, please come take your places. Ann Meriwether Baker, Haley Scott Barnhart, Lucas William Bassett, Bennett Thomas Charles, Samuel Brabham Crooks, Rachel Ellisor Holder, Leighton Gray Logan, Joshua James Robert Sluter, and Wallen and Arthur Radcliffe will be confirmed next Sunday. Now, as we go through this, church, you are not just observers. I want you to reaffirm your baptismal promises with them. It's important that they hear the chorus of your voices behind them as they enter into this new phase of their Christian life. We begin on page 33. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Last week, as a part of an interview, Phil and I sat down with the boys and the girls separately, and we went through them with these promises, and we instructed them in their meaning. So today they come to take them publicly. So confirmands, we begin with red number 4 at the top of page 34. And folks, as they say I do, I want them to hear the chorus of I do rising up from the great congregation. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist injustice, evil, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
Now, the next vow is one I just want to highlight a minute, but we're not going to take it. I'm going to read it for you. 10 and 12 and 14 years ago, your parents stood here holding in your arms a little child, and you took a promise that you would raise them in the faith and that they would confess their faith openly. Today is a fulfillment of God's grace through your faithfulness. Now, they will have to live out this faith, but today the burden begins to shift to them. And I just want to read for you, parents, this precious promise, because today you see its fulfillment. Will you nurture your child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly as they are doing now, and to lead a Christian life? And now vow number 6 for the confirmands. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I will.
And now a vow for the whole congregation, red number 8. Do you, as Christ's body, the church at Main Street, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these young persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples and walk in the way that leads to life. And now Phil Saunders will lead us in the Apostles' Creed.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. And I'm going to ask each of our confirmants to kneel. And Mary Wither, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Mary Wither Baker, the Holy Spirit fill you and work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Haley Scott Barnhart, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Haley Scott, the Holy Spirit work within you and fill you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple all your life of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Lucas William Bassett, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lucas, the Holy Spirit fill you and work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live all your life long as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Bennett Thomas Charles, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bennett Thomas, the Holy Spirit fill you now and work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live all your life as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Samuel Brabham Crooks, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Samuel Brabham, the Holy Spirit fill you and work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live all your life long as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Amen. Rachel Ellisor Holder, anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Rachel Ellisor, the Holy Spirit fill you and work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live all your life long as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Lawton Gray Logan, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lawton Gray, Leighton Gray, the Holy Spirit fill you and work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your life long. And God's people said,
Amen.
Joshua James Robert Schluter, I anoint you with oil in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Joshua James Robert, the Holy Spirit fill you and work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live all your life long as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said,
Amen.
Please stand. The confirmands will take your hymnals now. And if you'll turn to page 38. It is theologically important that in the United Methodist Church, the vows of baptism and the vows of church membership are separated. It's because we believe that baptism and confirmation are not so much in the United Methodist Church as into the one worldwide Church of Jesus Christ. We are an unambiguously ecumenical denomination, and sacraments are part of the whole body of Christ. But recognizing that, we also recognize that the church is fractured in our day, and we all serve in some historic denomination for which we do not give apology, but we look forward to the day when the church is unified. And so on page 38, having renewed their vows to Christ and His church, our confirmands are going to now take some vows to the United Methodist Church as a denomination and also to this local congregation. Now, as I read these vows, you'll see there's some words that were added. About 12 years ago, our General Conference strengthened these promises. They did not want to republish 10 million hymnals. So the writing in here is official. It is not my commentary. But you will note how what I add from the church strengthens these vows. And to our confirmands, read number 14. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries?
I will.
Okay, congregation, say it. I will.
I will.
Okay. You got a job to do. Support them. As members of this congregation, Main Street United Methodist, will you faithfully participate in our ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
And as if we had not given you enough stuff to carry, since you just took vows at church, you got to have a pledge card. And so let's give you one. And remember, 10% of what crosses your hands is God's. And we're going to help you make a promise and turn this in. And that way you'll be not just a receiver of ministry, but a creator of the ministries of this church. Now, folks, isn't this an amazing experience today? This is what revival looks like when parents raise their children to the faith and then launch them into some of the adult responsibilities. I'm still under your care, but with the burden for being a faithful Christian now upon their own shoulders. Now, how our service is going to end is this way. We're going to sing the song, Seek Ye First, and probably sing it twice. And what I'm going to ask is that the kids kind of spread out over here, spread here, and I want their families to come forward and their mentors and stand with them. And we'll have Phil at the end, and I want you to come by. And I want you to thank Phil for the courage it takes to preach and open his life. And I want you to come by and tell these children how proud you are of them. And how it's important that they too be soldiers of Jesus Christ. So as we sing this song twice, I'm going to ask the kids to spread out. Phil be down here. Let's let the acolytes up. But then I want the families to come forward and stand around them. Okay, Josh?
Thank you.
If you did not receive an invitation to Connection Sunday, come pick up one. Now, the reason the hearts of many of you adults have been tenderized today is because you remember when you first made a commitment to Christ or were confirmed. And you know how challenging this journey will be for these hearty young souls. So I invite you to come greet them and pledge them your love and support. The world is waiting, and the world is skeptical, and the world would examine your life. And I invite you to walk in the light of Christ, to live with integrity that adorns the gospel, and be ready in your weak, fumbling way to mention the name of Jesus Christ at every opportunity. And there you will meet difficulty, and there you will find blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God's people said,
Amen.